Hello, everyone. Welcome. I'm Carrie L., and this is Carrie L.'s Heartlink Show. And as I connect to as many hearts as possible, we are creating more freedom, light, and love, one interview at a time. My programs will bring you insights into the great awakening that is underway on planet Earth as we approach 2012. I'll be keeping you abreast of the latest tools available for anchoring a greater and healthier reality into your life. I'll be interviewing cutting-edge experts in the metaphysical, scientific, paranormal, and spiritual. Stay tuned for the next hour as I speak with one of the most recognizable names in ufology, Dr. Stephen Greer. And at the bottom of the hour, you can call in with your questions. There are 800 numbers available on the Internet, so I look forward to having callers today. But just give us a little time to warm up, and at, like I say, the bottom of the hour, please do call in and try to keep your questions as brief as possible. We want to get as many people in as possible. So we are so delighted today, and just so you know, I would suggest that you go to my show information, and that would be listed at the Wednesday at 4 o'clock slot. And you can see the information on Dr. Stephen Greer, and all the links to his websites are on there, as well as you can go to my own personal website, which is heartlinkinstitute.com. And again, clicking on to the live show, you can read all about all my guests and Dr. Stephen Greer. And also read about what I'm up to these days. And we're going to have a very special workshop coming very soon this month on the 22nd of March called Blueprinting Your Life. And so I would love for you to join us in Southern California. I also have the crop circle cards available to purchase on my website. And they are a wonderful oracle deck of 64 of the crop circle designs. And so I would love for you to learn more about what I do. And now, without further ado, I would love to introduce our guest today, Dr. Stephen Greer, who is the director of the Disclosure Project and also of the CEASE study project, which is a search for the Center for... Wait a minute. I'm going to let Stephen tell you what that is.
It's the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, CSETI, and you can see about that at CSETI.org.
Yeah, we don't want to get confused with SETI, which is a very
different
group.
Oh, no, which is a smokescreen program that's really a disinformation operation that's been set up for years.
Well, welcome, Dr. Greer. I'm so glad
you
can be with us today. It's an honor. And I know that you are dedicated to establishing a peaceful and sustainable relationship with extraterrestrial life forms, and that you, in fact, gave up your practice as a emergency room doctor, which is to pursue what you are involved with now and helping us to disclose this information that's been hidden. And it's quite amazing that it's gone on this long. That I don't think it's hidden anymore, quite frankly.
Well, the Disclosure Project has really successfully gotten it out. You know, it's interesting. There was a recent a Gallup poll that showed that about 80% of Americans believe that the UFOs are real and that we've been visited, and some aspects of the government are hiding that from us. And you know, it was 7 years ago at the National Press Club in Washington that the Disclosure Project, and you can see what we've done at disclosureproject.org, that we presented the first of 110 top-secret military and corporate and CIA witnesses, inside whistleblowers, to these secret programs. And it has become so prominent and has launched the disclosure movements all over the world that at this point, basically, when people say, when is the disclosure going to happen, I tell them, we've already done it, that it has penetrated the mainstream. It's all in the mainstream media now. Only a very small minority of people do not think that this has happened. And so it's interesting that, you know, everyone's waiting for some, you know, big brother up there in Washington to announce something. And I said, no, we did it for them. And it's an interesting story because if you look at my last book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, which is sort of an autobiography.
Oh, I read it.
And
you can
get that at disclosureproject.org. It's really a story of how I went from childhood, where I first had contact with the ET visitors, to began to be the guy briefing the Clinton administration and putting together the briefings for Bill and Hillary Clinton when he was president and his first CIA director on this issue, to discovering that the people who are elected and appointed in high positions and power in Washington and in Europe usually know nothing about this issue and don't have any say-so over it, and that there's sort of this hidden cabal has been keeping all these things secret for very understandable reasons that have to do with geopolitical power and greed. And so, you know, we decided in the late 90s to go ahead and go forward about 10 years ago with the disclosureproject.org, which was to say, look, we're going to find the best people on the planet who are firsthand insiders inside the government who know about this issue and who are willing to come forward with their evidence and testimony and documents. And we set upon doing that and did it. And at this point, it's really a fait accompli. It's been done, and so much so that you see now in Europe, the French government, last March, a year ago, releasing 100,000 pages of previously classified documents from their space agency about the reports and investigations and encounters that they have had in France and throughout Europe. So this has become something that's a movement that's happened all over the world. But the genesis of it really began back in 1990, 18 years ago, when I formed the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, which is the parent organization, by the way, of the Disclosure Project. And the CSETI, CSETI.org, is that we started that because we felt that it was very important that there be some peaceful, enlightened humans making contact with these visitors so that their sole interaction with humans isn't through a fighter jet chasing them or a space-based weapon system trying to shoot them down. We felt that there needed to be some wise elders on the planet who came together to make open contact within the framework of universal peace and within the framework of understanding the nature of universal consciousness as the ultimate resonant field through which communication takes place over the vast distances of interstellar space. And so we put that together as a program and began having astonishing, very close encounter events all over the world. And it was then that the head of Army Intelligence and a few other spooks from inside the intelligence community approached me and said, basically, what the hell are you doing? And it was then that I discovered that there was a very entrenched interest group that did not want this information out to the public and who were lying even to the president and to the CIA director that the president had at the time, Jim Woolsey, who I personally briefed on this matter. So it's a very interesting story that I recount in this book, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge. But the big picture is that, you know, the information has really gotten out there. And we estimate somewhere upwards of 1 billion people have seen this information through the media and the Internet. And it's really now a matter of bringing the next question in. Why is this being kept secret? And when you answer that question, you discover it's largely because they do not want the powers that be, the global elites, including the mainstream media, do not really want the public to know that we don't need oil and gas and coal and nuclear power, that the energy that's embedded within the fabric of space all around us, the room you're sitting in, has enough energy to run the Earth. Every cubic centimeter of space has enough potential electromagnetic energy to run the Earth for a day if we could tap it. But the fact of the matter is, there have been classified projects using our tax dollars, I might add, that have figured out how to do that. And so the next phase of what we're doing is really to bring out the energy systems and the knowledge that we really don't have to cannibalize and destroy our Earth in order to live on the Earth peacefully, long-term, into the future for thousands of years. That the knowledge of how to do that already exists, but it's a huge geopolitical and financial issue. And so this is where the whole disclosure effort is moving now. And that's why we have formed a group to put together the best scientists, just like we did the best insider military and intelligence whistleblowers. Now we're putting together the best scientists who understand the physics behind these type of energy generation systems so that we can truly create the foundation for a peaceful and abundant planet.
Wow. Well, you just said a lot there. It's incredible that we've had the ability to have free energy all along, and that so much is going on in the planet right now with people starving, and we are just at a critical point. And do you see anything coming soon to help the situation, as you say, for a sustainable future?
Well, you know, this is really in your hands. And when I say your hands, it's everyone listening. I don't know how many people you have listening to your program. You might know. But let's say that there's 50,000 people who hear this program at some point. If those 50,000 people decided they wanted to change this status quo, they could. The reason the world is the way it is because people have become passive and have become consumer cows and have been drugged. It's almost like the movie The Matrix, where everyone's stuck in this crazy matrix, and I'm Morpheus going around giving people the red pill. But the truth of it is that, you know, at this point, we're turning to the people and saying, do you want to make this change or not? And if you do, you need to go right now to theorionproject.org, all one word. And theorionproject.org is a group we have just started and announced this month to raise $3 million from non-tax-deductible nonprofit donations and from grants from people to put these scientists together in one place here near the University of Virginia in the shadow of Thomas Jefferson's home, Monticello, and come out with these systems that we know are possible. We are working with the best scientists in the world who understand the physics and the engineering behind this, but they cannot go forward because there is no resources in the public for them to go forward. The corporations keep this stuff secret. The government, when they've been approached, frankly, by people who are on our team, and even after grants have been awarded, they get pulled back because this cabal circles the limousines and says, don't let this technology go forward. It's going to take us. And so we've formed a nonprofit that people can make a tax-deductible contribution to. And if thousands of people contribute a small amount of funding, within a couple of months, we can open this research campus here and begin bringing these technologies forward. But it isn't going to happen any other way. We've concluded that the big moneyed interest and the government and corporate interest aren't going to do it. It's going to be us. It's just like the Disclosure Project all over again, except now it's dealing with the energy. It's really dealing with the foundation of the physics and energy behind what the UFOs are, how they're getting their energy, how do they travel through space. Well, they're not carrying a payload of fossil fuels or hydrogen or nuclear fuel. They're using very advanced concepts in physics, which have been understood for decades within classified circles. And so what we want to do now is bring together the men and women who know the most about this, who are serious scientists and physicists and engineers and inventors, and put them into one project and support them properly, and so that they're not doing this in their basements and garages. And then about the time they come forward with something that works, they either are assassinated or the technology gets suppressed and seized by the government and put into the netherworld of black box operations. And that's what's happened for 100 years. Long before the modern UFO era started, people like Nikola Tesla and T. Townsend Brown and other geniuses discovered the physics behind this, and it's been suppressed now for over 100 years. So what we're saying is the only way we're going to get out of this crisis that we're in right now, which is a spiritual, geopolitical, physical, and financial and environmental crisis that's going to bring the world to its knees if we don't correct it, is to come together as a people and decide we're going to support the folks who know how to get us out of it in the scientific, but also in the spiritual world. That there has to be a spiritual consciousness behind the development of these technologies. At the same time, there's serious support. So the OrionProject.org is a mechanism where anyone on Earth can make a modest contribution as a grant, and you can become a grantor to support these free energy researchers and scientists. And if people respond, we'll do it. If they don't, you know, you can expect more of the same. You're going to see $200 a barrel oil eventually. You're going to see the collapse of our biosphere, and you're going to see the collapse of our civilization in a complete catastrophic meltdown, which is avoidable, by the way. The question is, do we want to choose spiritually to avoid the worst of these events and come out with the solutions? We're about out of time, because we certainly can't wait another 100 years before we start to come out with these solutions. They need to happen immediately. So we're viewing the OrionProject.org as a, how can I say it, a civilian peaceful Manhattan Project that the people have to support. Because we have gone to the governments and to wealthy individuals, and they say, oh, well, this is wonderful, and we're sure this is true, but it's too dangerous, or it's too risky, or we don't want to do it because it's going to upset the apple cart of the oil cartels and all these big moneyed interests, special interests. And they won't put the resources into it. So now it's up to the people. And so what I say to you, I mean, you ask the question, when can this happen? It can happen as soon as we choose to make it happen. And this is the interesting phenomenon about the spiritual nature of life on Earth, is that it's the sphere of free will. And humans have free will, and we can use it for good or for not good. And I say that we need to choose the good, we need to choose the future, and we need to choose this large transformative change. And it's in our hands now. It's really a mistake to think that the government and these big corporations are going to do it for us. They aren't. I'm convinced, just like the Disclosure Project, relied on people to contribute to that, and then the courageous military people who wanted to end the secrecy came forward all in at once and disclosed that information at disclosureproject.org. If you want to see these energy material sciences come forward that can give us a peaceful civilization with no pollution and with abundance for everyone on the planet, we the people are going to have to do it. And I think it's really our time to make that choice.
Mm-hmm. And I recommend people read the book Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, because it really goes into an explanation of why we really do have to take back our power, because it's this. There's so much going on behind the scenes, and what a moving true story, Dr. Greer, and it really relates up your personal experiences with extraterrestrials and your whole experience with cosmic awareness since childhood, actually, since a near-death experience. You want to kind of give us a little bit of background of how you have gotten into all this?
Well, it's a very long story in a sense, but it began when I was a child. You know, my uncle designed a lunar module that put the first man on the moon and at Grumman. And we did go to the moon, by the way. It's just that what happened when we went there was covered up and lied to, but that's another long story that's in the book. But basically, I began to have a knowledge about these issues because I had a sighting of an ET craft when I was 8 or 9 and subsequently had conscious contact with the visitors from these other planets when I was young. And it was something that was always of great interest to me. And then when I was 17, I got very sick, and I had a near-death experience. And in that near-death experience, I went into a state of cosmic consciousness and found myself literally out in space and in the most beautiful state of awareness, of cosmic awareness you can imagine. And it was very moving. And to this day, I mean, I can just be there instantly.
You call it like the boundless mind, which I thought was wonderful.
And it was the experience of that the conscious mind that we all have within us, that everyone's listening to this interview with right now, that conscious mind is the one mind of the cosmos. And if we go deep within meditation and into quiet, centered meditation, we can arrive at that state Well, I arrived at that state as a 17-year-old boy very abruptly in this near-death experience. And then you realize that the whole being of the cosmos, the great being, and the being of your own awake mind are one, that there's a single awake being shining within all of us. And it was that state of unity consciousness and pure consciousness that really propelled me into this whole area and has given me also the courage to do what I've needed to do, because it hasn't been easy. It's been very, very difficult, just speaking from a linear human point of view. But it is that state of pure, unbounded mind, and this is the nature of mind. You know, Erwin Schrödinger, who was the father of modern quantum mechanics and actual particle wave theory that became quantum mechanics, Erwin Schrödinger said very famously in the early 1900s that the total number of minds in the universe is one, and that is that consciousness is a singularity, and that the conscious mind within us, the mind, you don't have to make this difficult, the mind that you're awake with right now is a single, unbounded field of awareness that you can experience. And this is one of the things, by the way, we're coming out with a two-disc meditation CD where I teach people how to arrive into that state. It's not yet available. It'll be available at DisclosureProject.org, probably in the next...
I liked the meditations you included at the back of the book.
Yes, well, that one is available. That is in a meditation CD, but this is an actual mantra meditation. You know, I became a meditation teacher and a Vedic scholar before I was a medical doctor. Thank goodness I went into all this before I went into medicine. And interestingly, I discovered that the reason when I had this near-death experience that I went into this state of unbounded pure mind and cosmic awareness is that that's what's always within us, that if we become silent and pure and still, that we can awaken to that, and then we can go from that state of, it has been called samadhi, of pure conscious awareness and unbounded mind, and begin to operate where you can then see any place in space and see any place in time and be within any being. And this is the state of perfect compassion the Buddha talks about, because you're in this state where you are one with all life and all beings. And that's one of the key things that you have to begin to understand and experience if you're going to be an ambassador to the universe, which is what we do to train people. At CSETI.org, we have a training program 4 or 5 times a year where we take people out to the, you know, Mount Shasta or Joshua Tree, we're doing one, or to Crestone, Colorado, or to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. We're doing these all over the country and sometimes all over the world, where we take people in groups of 20, 30, 40 people and go out under the stars and do this meditation. And we practice techniques to contact these visitors. And what's interesting is that if you understand that the very advanced ET civilizations that are out there are using sophisticated electronics that interface seamlessly with consciousness and thought, that once you understand that and know how to use this technique, you have to understand not only the technique of deep meditation, but then also how to awaken into that state, remote view where these ET craft are, and then connect with them. Then you can contact them, and we use a number of protocols, but we have had amazing events happen where these ET vehicles have shown up with us. In fact, we have a recent event that happened in November in Joshua Tree, where we had a 23-minute download of, it had to be millions or billions of bytes of information that came through our electronic sensors after we did this meditation and we got aligned to Orion, which is why we named this new energy research project the OrionProject.org. And we had this astonishing, there were like 30, 40 people who saw this happen. And we recorded it digitally. And we hope soon to have that up on our website at csetti.org. But what's interesting about that is that it was very clear that it was an interaction amongst humans and these visitors from interstellar regions of space, and that it was being effected through consciousness, the consciousness that the group had reached, which this was a state of pure, unbounded mind.
Mm. Yeah, you explained the nexus where the mind, space, time, and matter all come together. And you talk about the crossing point, which I found fascinating. You've had so many fascinating experiences and close encounters, and you do explain your protocol for a CE5 event, and how that came up through your experience with the extraterrestrials. You want to explain what that is, a CE5?
Yes, a close encounter of the fifth kind is when humans deliberately decide to make peaceful contact with these visitors and use a whole array of approaches and technologies to do it. But the first one is the one that understands this nature of the conscious mind that's within all beings, not just human, but ET and other planetary life systems, life forms, because the one mind of the cosmos that's within us is the one mind within all these visitors as well. There's no division. It's not like it's limited to the biosphere of Earth. And so if you understand the nature of who we are and the true nature of the conscious mind within us, then you begin to be ready to be an ambassador to these people throughout the cosmos. That's why we call the training program we have Ambassadors to the Universe. But the foundation of it is in this understanding of the true nature of the conscious mind within us. And then we use them to literally invite these visitors to interact with us. And we also use lasers, high-powered lasers, electronic tones that we project out into space so that we have a linear fix for them to come exactly into our location. And we teach people this at these expeditions that we hold several times a year, which are, by the way, open to the public. Anyone who wants to come can.
When's the next one?
The next couple ones are full. The next one's on the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and then we have one in Colorado in, I believe it's early July, and then the Mount Shasta in California around Labor Day. And all these, the dates of all these are up on our website at CSETI.org, and you can also get linked to it from DisclosureProject.org. But what's interesting is that, and I will be also, by the way, back up in Joshua Tree National Park in November, and I know there's still room in that one. So I think what we want, and our point is that we want everyone to understand that they need to take on the responsibility of being ambassadors to these visitors in a peaceful context. We're not choosing between this group or that group. We're truly universal in our outlook and truly compassionate. And the reason this is so important is that the governments of the world have dropped the ball on doing this because they either have compartmentalized these projects and kept them very secret and militaristic. So there's only a militaristic interface with these visitors, or they don't know anything about it. And so we, the people, have to be the citizen diplomats to make open contact through these close encounters of the fifth kind, which is when we invite them to come and interact with us for the purpose of peaceful, open contact. And that's what that's all about. And it's very, very important. What's interesting is that there's now a major G8 country whose Ministry of Defense has written me in the last year or so saying that they want to do this with us as a formal thing. Project.
Wonderful.
Involving their head of state. I can't talk about which country this is, but it's a very major country. And so, we're modeling this for them. What people who are listening have to understand is that if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. We have to be the vanguard, opening up this new era and this transformative time. And then these people in political power and financial power, they will follow in that leadership. A lot of people have taken on this mindset that somewhere out there, someone's going to do this for us. And that's not true. We have to do this. We're the people, and now's the time. And if not us, who? And if not now, when? It's a realization that this is all in our hands, both the contact with these visitors, the bringing forth of these technologies, the transformation of life on Earth to an abundant and peaceful civilization. This is in our hands. It's very unlikely it's going to happen through the existing governments of the world, although we are now seeing that there are governments around the world that are inquiring into what we're doing and want us to be the lead contact team for them so that their head of state and their cabinet-level officers can make peaceful contact with the ETs. We're literally being invited to do this with a major world government. So I think that what we see over the last few years is that it is transforming that whole debate. And I think that's the natural progression that we would expect. The same thing is going to need to happen now on the environmental and poverty front, the anti-poverty issues of dealing with energy and the environment and these new technologies. The real alternative energy technologies are not going to be wind and solar, and certainly not biofuels. It's going to be these really advanced, elegant physics, these elegant sciences that have been suppressed for so many years, and which, when they come out, will be the tide that lifts all ships around the world, every nation, every people, every culture. And in that abundance, there can be justice and peace, and then eventually a universal civilization on this planet that will be welcome out in space. But we have a lot of work to do before we can join the interplanetary society that's waiting for us to make this transformation. But once we do, the doors of the universe will be completely open to us.
Well, and I know that there are now countries that are coming forth and have released information, and France and Canada and so forth, and they're just stepping up to the plate. And our country is kind of, you did the disclosure back in 2001, and then, of course, we had the 9/11 occur, which then catapulted us into some dark hours. And now we're coming out, and as you say, you're going to help spearhead a nation to make this contact. You're ambassadors to the extraterrestrials. And wonderful, because, you know, I do admire your work. You've been at it for so long, and you've been so committed. What's the first thing that you would do with the exopolitics? I guess that's the new term that's being used for making contact and having some real good communications with extraterrestrials. How many are there, I guess, in terms of races, or do you have any information in terms
of... Well, I'm sure there are thousands of species that are involved, and there are a number that are involved directly with various operations with the planet Earth. They're working together, by the way, and, of course, I personally don't use this moniker exopolitics, because I don't like the anthropocentric politicization of something that's very transcendent beyond Earth-based consciousness. However, you know, some people use that term. We don't. I think that it's important to understand that none of these civilizations that are involved with the Earth right now are anything but peaceful. They're waiting for us to become peaceful so that they can join with us in some sort of rational way. Unfortunately, what's happened is that you find the dialogue becoming very, this sort of false duality that's been foisted into the public discourse on this, of whether the good aliens that look like white people from Germany, Nordic or something, and they're the bad aliens who look like a different kind of thing. And
the gray.
They look different, smell different. And I think what's happened, unfortunately, in the whole exopolitics sphere is an anthropocentric projection of the racism and divisions on Earth and our collective experience over the last 10,000 years of tribal and ethnic and racial and warfare onto these visitors. And I think it's completely unwarranted, without foundation or evidence. And what I do think, however, is that the secret governmental programs have used that tendency in humans to divide and conquer and create the sort of cowboys and Indians in space routine that has become the sort of stock and trade of the UFO and New Age community. And they've used that human frailty towards us versus them sort of thinking to put out fearsome images of these visitors, which are completely untrue, but which have caused people to become very, very afraid of some of these visitors. Our view of that is that it's largely disinformation that's been designed to create the foundation of conflict, where, as Wernher von Braun explained, that we would eventually end the Cold War, and then we'd have the war of terrorism. And he said this in the 70s, by the way. And then eventually they would like to convince people that there's a threat from outer space so that we can weaponize space and have a Earth versus other planets conflict. And most of the UFO subculture and New Age community and exopolitics community has bought into this us versus them, that, you know, a mindset, when I don't think there's a bit of evidence to suggest that. And so I think we have to be very, very careful in the language we use and the images we use, because, you know, we've been all over the world with the CE5 initiative with CSETI, and we've had contact with many, many different kinds of ET craft and beings, and we've never had anything but the most beautiful and peaceful experiences. And I think that at the same time, we have uncovered classified projects that use things that look like UFOs that are made at Lockheed Skunk Works and Northrop.
You talk about ARVs.
They're called alien reproduction vehicles, and that have these creatures on them that are man-made but look alien, to engage in various types of counterintelligence operations, including abductions, mutilations, and all kinds of frightening things. But those are being run by humans who are trying to put information, I should say disinformation, out into the public domain so that people will eventually accept the cost of interplanetary war. I'll remind your listeners that MacArthur's last speech to Congress in the 60s, and this is a matter of the congressional record, this is in the congressional record, he said World War III will be interplanetary. So this was being planned in the 50s and 60s. And I think that the very well-funded disinformation, the minions of this disinformation campaign, have infiltrated ufology, exopolitics, the New Age community, and they have pervaded these fearsome images so that people say, well, you know, most of these ET visitors are probably fine, but there are these ones that are terrible, and we need to fight them, or we need to hate them. And I think this is the same thing that's been done, one race against another, one nation against another, one religion against another, for thousands of years on Earth. And I can tell you, you know what, one thing Einstein was right about, no problem is ever solved from the consciousness which created it. So the consciousness of this kind of fear and division, which has now crept into the dialogue on this, is really not going to be where the solution comes from. We're going to have to transcend all of that nonsense and really go into the heart of what it means to be an intelligent being in the cosmos, see the oneness we share with all of these life forms, and begin to interact with them in a peaceful way, free of prejudice, free of fear, free of all this baggage that we are dragging into this issue from the old era that's collapsing all around us, so we can create this new era that's ready to be born and is being born, actually, all around us. So I think we have to be very, very clear on that, and that's why the CE5 initiative is very oriented towards this peaceful contact with any and all extraterrestrial visitors who have come here through interstellar space, because we know they're all working together in an interplanetary coalition. There's no cowboys and Indians to it. Part of the proof of that, by the way, is that the people I know at the Defense Intelligence Agency and in the space agencies have told me that when we've tried to use these man-made UFO-looking things that are anti-gravity craft to go out into space, we've been turned back. That basically, until a civilization reaches peacefulness as a whole people, world peace, global peace, whether it's this solar system or any other solar system, that you're really not allowed to go very far outside your biosphere. And this is why Neil Armstrong was overheard, by the way, saying that when we landed on the moon in 1969, he was carried there in my uncle's lunar module, that basically the whole rim of the crater where he sat down were covered with ET craft. That basically said, I don't know how that was being conveyed, but he said that we were basically warned off the moon to go back to Earth until we could become peaceful, until we could stop fighting, until we could end the Cold War, until we could get rid of the weapons of mass destruction and the policy of mutual assured destruction with tens of thousands of nuclear weapons aimed down everyone's throat. I mean, you know, these civilizations have been watching us for thousands and thousands of years. And now they know that we're at this point of transformation where we must grow up and become peaceful members of the universal community. But I think what we have to be very careful of is that the war machine would like to demonize some of these ET visitors to create the specter of fear, and through that create a sort of military junta around the world that would engage in interplanetary conflict. And who does that benefit? It benefits the current folks who are getting $1 trillion a year out of the world economy for the war machine. And I think we have to be very realistic about that. This is a very powerful issue, and the public have been deceived, I believe, into this sort of false dichotomy, this false duality of there being good ETs and bad ETs, and the bad ETs are this type. And I think it's all a fairy tale and a disinformation campaign that's been designed to scare the bejeebies out of people so they won't go out in the desert and make peaceful contact with all of these visitors. And that's what we're doing, and we're showing that we can do it. We've never been harmed. We've never been threatened. And with only bad experiences we have had with other humans. I mean, we've been robbed in Mexico by, you know, federales and corrupt police and stuff. But we've never had anything but the most beautiful experiences with these visitors. And so, and the most elegant and spiritual and wonderful. So I tell people that I will take our 18 years experience out under the stars making contact to all this disinformation and lies that are being put out there that are designed to scare the people.
Mm. Well, and so you're saying the abductions have been staged through some paramilitary group, shadow group?
Well, I have personally interviewed numerous people who have been on those abduction squads that are using advanced craft as well as advanced electronics to simulate these sort of experiences. Now, I'm not saying that no one has had contact with an ET that where they haven't been sort of freaked out or maybe astonished. I mean, I was when I had this encounter on this mountaintop in North Carolina when I was 18. I was like, you know, kind of gobsmacked. But it was in no way harmful. And what's interesting is that we do know at the same time that there are these bizarre sort of Dr. Strangelove projects that deal with weird creatures that are genetically made by humans, and these craft that look like UFOs, but they are UFOs to people who are uneducated, but well, they're unidentified and they look like they're flying, but they're actually made by humans. And I have interviewed numerous people, including Army Rangers and other people who have been in compartmented projects, and this one, I'll never forget this one Army Ranger telling me, he said, Dr. Greer, you have no idea how many people we have, quote, abducted to make it look like an alien contact so that they would fear the ETs, hate them, and eventually support this weaponization of space and the future war in space that they would like to run as the next deceptive program to follow up on the war on terror and the Cold War and all these other games that keep getting played throughout the last 100 years. And it is. It's a big game being played on the public. The public and mainstream media buy into it. And in reality, there's no basis in fact. When you pull the curtain back, you find the wizard, this old man pulling the levers like in The Wizard of Oz. And you know, these old gray men. And basically what we have to realize is that humans by nature are very susceptible to that kind of fear-mongering. And we have to resist it and go deeper into who we really are, into this place of universal consciousness and universal peace, and make contact with these visitors free of that kind of prejudice and free of that kind of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just have to really step up to the plate and claim our divine power. I mean, clearly, that's the only way to raise our frequency above all these electronic devices that are aimed at keeping us down.
Right, and I think that people have to understand there's no power on Earth that's man-made that is as powerful as the nature of the conscious mind within us, that people should not fear anything, because the true nature of the mind and the being that is within each of us, the great being that's standing within all of us. And I tell people to visualize it this way, that if you were to visualize this the sun and this enormous infinite light of pure consciousness, and that each of our individualities are unique, like a snowflake, no two are alike, and like windows in a vast cathedral, each of us have a different shape, a different color, a different form, a different texture. But the light that's illuminating each of our individual souls is this single light of pure cosmic awareness. That's the experience people have to have. And not just intellectually, but actually have it. And then they will see the truth, and they will also be able to move into open contact with these visitors free of fear, free of prejudice, knowing who they really are, but also seeing this light of consciousness, this oneness that is shining within all of these extraterrestrial visitors. And also amongst people on Earth, even the ones who are misguided, who are trying to grab a lot of power, when I meet with those folks, and I have, I see within them this same great being, but that their own individualities have just fallen into ignorance and fear and greed. I think people have to understand also that there's a lot at stake here. If you're, you know, if you own a part of the $200 trillion in proven oil, gas, and coal reserves, you're not going to be real thrilled with the idea of technologies coming out that make all of that obsolete within 10 to 20 years. And that's what the OrionProject.org is proposing to do, because we've wasted the last 100 years keeping these things secret. Now we've run out of time. The Earth, Gaia, who is a conscious entity herself, and it's a female. Earth is a female conscious being. She is begging us to come out with these solutions. But you know what? The people listening to your interview are going to have to do it. If they sit around on their hands waiting for the government or Big Brother or somebody who's rich or Bill Gates or any number of other people, it ain't going to happen. So people have to take the power back to themselves and manifest it. And that's why we've created this vehicle, so anyone can participate and anyone can help us support these scientists who can bring out these solutions so that we can lay the physical material foundation for a sustainable, peaceful civilization. At the same time, we're bringing out these concepts of universal consciousness, peaceful contact, and global transformation. It all has to be together. You can't do any of this piecemeal. It's all part and parcel of a big transformative movement.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a big picture that some may not really get a real understanding of yet. There's much more going on than just in our own little worlds, and so we really do have within us again that ability to make contact ourselves and to get within ourselves our own shadow government under control, so to speak, and before we even try to affect the world outside of us. And it really is something within each and every one of us that we need to take responsibility for.
Right, and you know what happens? If we come out, here's one of the goals of the OrionProject.org, is to put the best of these scientists together and come out with a 10-kilowatt or so generator that would run anyone's home or business. So we're not trying to go through the big public utilities or the car companies, and bring that out to the public, and bring it out in such a massive way, because we have access to a lot of people who are ready to get behind this, that basically at that point, it's like squeezing the toothpaste out of a tube, but you can't put it back in. It would be out, and the public then become the supporters who are really putting this into the public domain, that they become the shield, if you will, the vanguard of leadership by not only supporting the research and development that has to happen, but then getting these technologies so that their homes and their businesses are running pollution-free with no carbon footprint, with no use of fossil fuels whatsoever. And that begins to be something where first thousands and then millions of people do that. Well, that will require then the dynamics of the entire, if you will, the cabal that's been keeping these things off the radar screen to change. So again, it is about involving everyone in this process. And this is why I keep coming back to this idea that this is in each of our hands individually and collectively. And if we make that kind of change, we'll be able to sincerely see a transformation within our lifetime. I mean, within 20 years, 10 to 20 years, we could begin to transform this planet to literally a rose garden, a paradise, if we choose to do it, because the sciences and technologies have come through the minds of conscious beings and people and men for 100 years since the time of Tesla, and they haven't come out. And the reason they haven't is that there hasn't been enough people to get behind. First, they have to understand these issues. Then they actually have to act. You have to follow through with action. And that's why we're opening this whole effort up to the public through a nonprofit foundation so people can donate, whether it's $10 or $1,000 or $1 million. Our budget is for about $3 million to put a dozen of these scientists together in one place and get them to come up with these solutions very quickly, within 12 to 18 months. But in order to do that, the public is going to have to get behind it, because we have not found that the governments or the big corporate people are going to do it.
Well, you have already worked out the strategy of how to do that, and you have very cogent plans to unveil in a safe manner any technologies that would help us. And so if anyone wants to learn about your Advanced Energy Research Organization, they can go to www.aero, that's A-E-R-O, 2012.com, and learn more about what's going on with that, the systems development. And it really does have to come from, again, a place where we lift ourselves from paranoia to really believing in that divine consciousness works. And so if you're trying to do the black box project, and that's just not going to work anymore, apparently. Scientists need to really come into this place of a sense of community backing them.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the other thing, is that people have to understand their safety and protection by involving thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this process. That if there are thousands of people doing this and who are stakeholders in that sense of moving forward, just like with the Disclosure Project, when we moved forward in such a massive way at the National Press Club that upwards of 1 billion people heard about that. No one who were these top secret witnesses who came out with documents and their testimony, some of them had been threatened with death if they ever spoke about what they knew. No one even got a phone call threatening them. There was too much public knowledge at that point. We can do the same thing with these energy technologies, but that's why we have to have a brilliant strategic plan joined with the brilliant scientists who know the technical information. And the third element, and most important element, are the people listening to the show who then say, we're going to get behind this, and no force on earth will be able to stop it.
There's safety in numbers, people. So
yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think that's why one of the reasons I'm still alive.
I would say so. Dr. Greer, why don't you explain how you have made it this far?
Yeah, well, that's a very long story. I mean, I have to say, we have very, very good support.
We have 2 minutes left, so I'm going to let you decide what you want to end the show on. So,
well, I think the main thing is that people need to understand that this whole transformation that's happening is happening on the level of consciousness, knowledge, and then information, which is different from knowledge, but also the scientists. The sciences that are the sciences of new energy, of free energy, and the sciences of consciousness, these are all sciences which are here on the planet but have to be given expression. And that this is what we're doing through all these projects. So there are really three main projects that we have now. CSETI, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence to Make Peaceful Contact, that we discussed. The Disclosure Project, disclosureproject.org, that is bringing out all the testimony and insider information from people who have been in these classified projects. And then the scientific project, the Orion Project, and Aero, 2012.com, but the Orion Project is the main vehicle, the orionproject.org, where the masses can contribute to the research of these scientists, so we have a physical material means of running the planet, so that we're no longer cannibalizing the earth by burning coal and gas and oil, and also keeping 80% of the world impoverished. People have to understand that there can never be peace or justice on this planet so long as the zero-sum game of fossil fuels dominate, because the zero-sum game of fossil fuels requires that at least 80% of the world's population be in poverty and struggling. And you can never have a peaceful planet so long as there's that kind of inequality and injustice. And so this is really a spiritual issue, even though it sounds like it's a physical material science. And because when you bring these new sciences forward that extract energy from the space around us, the environment around us, that are non-polluting and free energy, all of a sudden you can lift all the civilizations of Earth, all the peoples of the Earth, into abundance, education, knowledge, enlightenment. And that isn't going to happen buying $110 a barrel oil from the Mideast or from ExxonMobil. It just isn't going to happen. And so I think we have to understand that that is part of this whole spiritual transformation, even though it sounds like a very material science.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's letting go of the old and bringing in the new, that's for sure. And it's been so wonderful to have us meet today and have your insights. And your information and your work, your global work, is unparalleled. And you are relentless. And I admire you tremendously.
Well, thank you so much for your support and help and for helping us get the word out.
Well, and people, you have been listening to Dr. Stephen Greer. And you can go to his websites, thedisclosureproject.org or theorionproject.org or arrow2012.com. And you have been listening to Carrie L's HeartLink show. And I'm so glad that we've been able to connect and broaden our horizons towards more freedom and light and love. And next time we will be listening to a very special guest, Dr. Michael Sala, and he'll share his views on exopolitics. So thank you again, Dr. Greer, and good evening, everyone, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.